horses was spotted in Umm Safa earlier in the day. Residents of the village had gathered to join a rally against the establishment of a new settlement outpost near the southern entrance to the village last month. Protected by the Zionist regime army, Zionist settlers attacked the Palestinian protesters with sticks and stones, wounding some, according to the news outlet Arab 48. Muhammad Bahr, a member of Umm Safa's village council, told Wafa News Agency that the Zionist regime forces shot and killed Saleh while he was in the northern area of the village. Umm Safa, along with other villages near Ramallah and Ablus, has come under violent Zionist settler mob attacks in recent weeks that left at least one Palestinian killed. Palestinians hold weekly rallies in the West Bank to denounce settlements and occupation by the Zionist regime. Zionist regime troops and settlers often attack them to disperse their protest, leading to the wounding and killing of Palestinians. Nearly 700,000 settlers live in more than 250 settlements and outposts across the West Bank and East Al-Quds in violation of international law. Saleh's killing comes after Israeli regime troops raided Nablus recently and killed two Palestinians, Khairi Shahin and Hamza Muayyad Muhammad Maqbul. Recently, Zionist regime forces have killed 18 Palestinians in one of the most violent weeks in the West Bank in months. According to Middle East Eye Tally, 192 Palestinians have been killed by Israeli regime fire this year, including 33 children, at a rate of more than one fatality per day. At least 157 people died in the West Bank and East Al-Quds, while the remaining 36 were killed in the Gaza Strip. Meanwhile, Palestinians have also killed 25 Israelis in the same period. In the meantime, Wafa News Agency reported the Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Expatriates strongly denounced the Zionist regime's acquittal of a police officer responsible for the cold-blooded murder of a Palestinian autistic man in Al-Quds in May 2020 and said the International Criminal Court, ICC, should investigate this. The Foreign Ministry said in a statement, "There is no justice or access to justice under Israel's illegal occupation and apartheid regime. Israel, the occupying power, and its tainted judiciary system continue to sanction war crimes and crimes against humanity against an occupied people and provide absolute immunity to its occupying forces and officers." The Foreign Ministry rejected what it said was Israel's disgraceful whitewash of the deliberate killing of Iyad al-Lagh, 32 years old, autistic man in the occupied East Al-Quds while he was on his way to a special needs school on May 30, 2020. It said, "Israel's broken judiciary system is central to its apartheid regime and colonial aspirations. Settler, racist and violent, fueled by systematic discrimination and sustained by Jewish supremacy. The killing of Iyad was not an honest mistake. It was part of a pattern and a direct execution of Israel's criminal laws and declared policies. Kill Palestinians." the Zionist regime. This report in the occupied Al-Quds recently acquitted the policeman who killed Halaq, claiming that he acted recklessly and that the killing was a tragic mistake, while claiming that the officer acted in self-defense, even though the victim did not have any weapon on him. The Palestinian Foreign Ministry said Israel's willful failure to hold its occupying forces and officers accountable for their crimes is further evidence that the Zionist regime should itself be investigated. There is no justice for Palestinians in Israeli courts. It added, the prosecutor of the ICC has a responsibility and undeniable obligation to investigate and pursue accountability for Iyad and countless other Palestinians who are victims of Israel's culture of impunity. The prosecutor must expedite his investigation in order to deter and prevent Israeli crimes against the Palestinian people. The ministry concluded its statement, the warning signs are clear. Israeli officials' public calls for the killing of thousands of Palestinians, coupled with a tainted judiciary system sanctioning these killings and shielding occupying forces, officers, and settlers, international protection is necessary. The international community and the UN Secretary General must provide international protection for the Palestinian people without any delays and excuses. The international community is responsible for the lives and well-being of the Palestinian people. Immediate action, not empty words, is needed.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Assalamu alaikum to you, dear listeners of IRIB English Radio, Call of Islam page. Very welcome to another episode of the program Viewpoints. I am Atta, the host of this program. Sayyid Mohsen Naghvi and Shaykh Rouhani are two special guest speakers for today's discussion. Sayyid Mohsen, assalamu alaikum.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullah.
And Shaykh Rouhani, assalamu
alaikum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Okay, for today's discussion, we want to talk about the significance and the position of spirituality in today's world. We know that day by day, the people are believed to be away from spirituality, and we can say they live in this modern world with all its industrial development. From the other side, some of the religious people, they say that the spirituality is finding its true place again in the lives of the people, because People missed it, and now they are looking for new meaning in life through spirituality. When we talk about Hayat Tayyiba based on spirituality in Islam, the first thing that comes to our mind is that this spirituality we are talking about is a trust of Allah in our hand. It is not something coming from the brain and tranquility and peace of mind. Rather, it is something from the upper world, Shaykh Rouhani. So if we want to develop such kind of ma'naviyah in our life, what should we do?
Yes, of course, as you rightly mentioned, in Islam, we have the principle of monotheism or oneness of God or tawheed.
Yes.
One of the aspects of tawheed is this that you mentioned, that whatever we achieve in our life, particularly that hayat tayyiba, that prosperous life or the perfect, we can say, life, is something like a gift, like a blessing, like a bounty of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is bestowed upon us by Him. We have a very nice sentence by Amir al-Mu'minin Ali alayhi salatu wasalam. He wrote to Malik al-Ashtar in that letter, he wrote that, "O Malik, if sometimes you see that people talk positively about you, good things about you, you must know that it is not you. It is Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that put these positive things in the hearts of the people, in the minds of the people. Then they talk about you in that way."
Yes.
You know, even if we sometimes are praised by people or appreciated by the people, we should know that it is a kind of blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is a muwahhid's life, that whatever good things you have in your life, you have to understand that it is a blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is not something that you achieved by your own self. You know, that's why if you understand that whatever I have in my life, it is like a blessing. It is like a ni'mah, it is like a mercy, a bounty of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then look how much peaceful, how much secure, what we can say, how much happy you will be. Mm-hmm. Because it means that you are, all the blessings of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being showered upon you.
Yes.
And you're always being blessed by Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's blessings. That's why this is a ma'nawi life. Mm-hmm. You know, that there is no arrogance, there is no takabbur, and there is no selfishness, for example. And you just think that you are in the presence of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and you should always consider Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as observer on you.
Yes.
And you are in the presence of the one who loves you in the highest way possible.
Yes.
Due to or out of this love, Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is providing you with all these blessings.
Mm-hmm.
And you must be always thankful, and you must always reminding yourself of this reality. This is the reality of your life.
Yes.
Suppose that if it is vice versa, and you think that everything belongs to you, it is only you that you are achieving each and everything, you know? And it's only you that you are losing each and everything. You are alone. There's no one helping you, no one supporting you, no one with you. You know, what a disastrous life you would have.
Yes.
Because you're always worried about each and everything. Because our knowledge is limited, always we make wrong judgments about the others. Always we are worried, always we are depressed. Always we are concerned that, okay, I'm losing this and that.
Yes.
And what should I do? Always you are with lots of stress.
The panic of mind.
Yeah.
Well,
a stressful life you would have.
Yes.
But if you feel that, no, you are in the presence of the absolute rahmah, of the absolute mercy, of the absolute ni'amat of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then of course it gives you a very peaceful life, a very kind of comfortable life. And then you would enjoy a very happy and prosperous life. This is the hayat tayyiba that we should achieve in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And this is the real spirituality, that we should always be connected with Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we should always be in the presence of God.
Yes.
That would give us a better life, a prosperous life. Because without God, without this light of Almighty Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our life will be fully in darkness.
Okay, that's right.
And that would be not... And there would be no spirituality in that life then.
Okay, Sayyid Mohsen, can we reach this Hayat Tayyiba without religion? For example, through some methods, we can say call the spirituality or something like that, spiritual movements, without religious beliefs or without Islam, without Christianity and Judaism in the true sense of the word?
Well, obviously, we talk only about Islam. We don't talk about
yes,
other religions at the moment, because being a Muslim, we just talk about Islam. The first thing which we need to bear in mind is that religion is not something different from what we live. The daily activities that we have, every movement, whatever we do, it is the part of religion. This is not separate. The secular system, yes, they separate religion from the other parts of the life. Whereas our life is within religion. Religion is to guide us. Religion of Islam, basically when Allah created us, He told us how to live. What is forbidden, what is permissible, what you need to be avoiding, it is necessary, and what you need to do. So this is all religion. For example, you know, backbiting.
Yes.
Religion says this is haram, this is forbidden, right? In general life, we stop our kids. So this is part of religion.
Yes.
Conceit. For example, you know, self-loving or thinking that I'm
spiritual. Self-praise.
Self-praise.
That's right.
So all these things are bad things. Mm-hmm. So Islam stops us from these things. So everything is within religion. Mm-hmm. So we cannot separate this. So when everything is within religion, then we need to ask the religion or the main source that how to get this spirituality, how to reach to this level of spirituality. And then the Islam has given the obviously solutions. The very first thing is to know the halal and haram.
Yes.
You know, the very first step, there is a verse in the Quran. The verse is, you know, the reason of raising the prophets. Why Allah raised prophet? Allah said, لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. Allah has favored the mu'mineen إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْهُمْ, when he has raised a messenger or prophet from themselves. مِنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. For what? يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ. This is the first thing. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ means to read the verses of the Quran or to tell them, you know, everything. This has a vast meaning. يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ.
Yes.
Reading the verses. Whatever we learn in the schools, you know, the good and bad, our teachers, our parents, they teach us. The halal and haram, whatever we learn, all of this is part of يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتِ. So when they have learned, when they know about the good and bad, now وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. First, you need to know about good and bad. Once you know this, then it is the time of يُزَكِّي, which is obviously to yes. purifying ourselves. Yes. In spirituality, we want to purify ourselves. We cannot purify ourselves if we do not know about what is permissible, what is forbidden. How to live, how to socialize with the people. All these things are part of يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ. Because the Quran, you know, there are 500 verses only about the laws, Islamic laws.
Yes.
The rest is about the beliefs and the ethical issues.
Yes.
You know, how to deal with the people, how to socialize with the people, what are the rights of the others, how to perform the justice. All these things are in the Quran. So first is يَتْلُوا عَلَيْهِمْ. We need to know about the Quran if we want to have a spiritual life. Then وَيُزَكِّيهِمْ. Then the Prophet is, you know, set to purify themselves.
Yes.
And then, وَيُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ.
Mm-hmm.
Then give them the knowledge of book. Once they have learned everything, then they purified themselves. Now it is the time to give the knowledge of book. And after that, وَالْحِكْمَةِ, the wisdom.
Yes.
Now about the knowledge of book, those who reach to the level of spirituality, this is for them.
Yes.
Who purify themselves. What is the knowledge of book? Ilmul Kitab. You know, in the Quran, we have the example of Prophet Suleiman, alayhi salam, that he had one of the companions, Asif Barakhiya.
Yes.
He asked, who can bring the throne of Bilqis for me? He said, I can bring it. And Allah said in the Quran, he had ilmun min al kitab. He had a small portion of book. He knew the small portion of ilm. So this ilm, the one who becomes or gets the purification after knowing the everything, and he reached to that level, even if he knows a little of knowledge, يُعَلِّمُهُمُ الْكِتَابِ, the knowledge of book, he can bring that. So this is the spiritual level that they can reach. And obviously, the hikmah is on the other hand. And the best role model for us in this world is the personality of Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam.
Yes.
Why? Because Prophet has said, أَنَا مَدِينَةُ الْعِلْمِ وَعَلِيٌ بَابَهَا.
Mm-hmm.
I am the city of knowledge, he is the door of that.
Yes.
And then he said that when you enter the city of knowledge, there is a house, there is a destination. And the destination of the knowledge is wisdom.
Yes.
And he said, أَنَا دَارُ الْحِكْمَةِ وَعَلِيٌ بَابَهَا. I am the house of wisdom and Ali is the door.
Mm-hmm.
So that's why we see even in the Islamic world, for example, you see Sufis, you see the Sunnis or Shias. Whenever they talk about spirituality or the journey of spirituality or ma'naviyat, they all follow... try to follow the path of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi
salatu wasalam. That's all right. Okay. And we know that we have Sharia, which is Islam. We have Tariqah, which is the way or the path. And we have Haqiqah in order to reach. I think, as you said, the best Tariqah is the Tariqah of Ahlul Bayt, starting with Imam Ali alayhi salam. Through the lifestyle, through the seerah, we can learn so many new things to find.
But you know, there is one thing, because sometimes people, they start from Yuzakihim, mm-hmm. according to the verse.
Yes.
They ignore the Yatlu Alim Ayati, the first portion.
Yes, yes.
You know, when you do not know about halal and haram, when you do not know about your duties, how can you purify yourself?
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the difference between the Islamic spirituality and others. You know, for example, the monks, the Hindu spirituality, the Christian, Judaism, all these spiritualities, what is the difference between them and the Islamic spirituality is that, you know, they say you need to go to the jungle, for example,
mm-hmm.
you do meditation, and even if you don't know about anything, the halal and haram, even if you don't know about your responsibilities, you need to separate yourself from this world and then pay attention to the purification, you know, meditation, purification.
Yes.
Whereas Islam says, no, this is not the right way.
Mm-hmm.
First, you need to know about yourself,
yes.
who you are, where you came from, what is your duties, what is your responsibilities towards your family, because in Islam, the spirituality is within the life that we are spending.
That's right.
When I am talking to my kids, my children, when I'm socializing or talking to my wife or the neighbors, the spirituality is within this.
Mm-hmm.
If I am observing their rites, then obviously I am getting my purification the same time. But if I leave them and I just go away, I don't take care of their rights and the things that they have, then obviously I cannot reach to this.
That's right. Okay, thank you, my Sayyid Mohsen Naqvi and Sheikh Rouhani, for a nice elaboration regarding the whatness of Islamic spirituality, the concept of Hayat al-Tayyiba, the pure life, and how to find the kind of pure life in today's world. It was very kind of you, and thank you much, dear listeners, for listening to us. For more information, visit our website at parstoday.ir, Call of Islam page. To another episode, God bless you all. Fi amanallah.
يقولها لنا يوم القيامة أمتي أمتي يقولها شفاعة أنا لها
Food for thought.
Hello, everyone. Let us enlighten our minds and souls with some bezels of wisdom from the Holy Prophet's first infallible successor, the Commander of the Faithful, Imam Ali ibn Abi Talib. Peace be upon him. Who is deserted by friends and relatives will often find help and sympathy from strangers.
انسان را مطمئن می کند ذکر خدا ذکر الله تطمئن القلوب.
Be aware, the hearts find rest in Allah's remembrance.
Spring of truth.
Allah ya Allah subhanallah. Allah ya Allah walhamdulillah. Allah wa la ilaha
Imam Khomeini's viewpoint about Hajj, the U.S. line and court who secured the interests of the great Satan were not present to pronounce religious decree that God forbid, God and Messenger have given order and act against the Hajj rituals, announcing that the Hajj should be removed from these issues. The day when Imam al-Mahdi, God hasten his reappearance, reappears and cries at the Kaaba for justice and shouting at oppressors and infidels, these very people excommunicate him and support the tyrants. May Allah protect Islam and Muslims from the evil presence of the oppressors.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم السلام عليكم ورحمة الله dear audience welcome to a new episode of Spring of the Truth from IRIB English Radio. In this program we try to listen to some sentences and precious words of Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh about different subjects and then make use of them as great lessons for us and in order for us to follow this great character and the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran. In one of his speeches about the infallibles, Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayh said, "This man, Imam Ali, is the manifestation of all justice and equity and the wonder of the world, from the beginning of the world to eternity. No man except the noble messenger can match him in his excellence." As you know, this statement is about the high level of human qualities of Imam Ali alayhi salam. Imam Ali alayhi salam was educated in Prophet's school with teachings that governed all his actions since then. Many signs of courage and bravery that have realized throughout the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam, whether through his deeds or speeches, are taken from this great character. He slept in Prophet's bed in the night of emigration to save Prophet's life. He fought against the idolaters, and he was so peace-seeker that suggested it before any war.
Ya Rabbana, salli ala Taha al-Nabi wa alihi
sallallahu alayhi.
You know, Imam Ali alayhi salam had contradictory qualities like greatness with humility, courage with precaution, bravery with remission, generosity with moderation, forgiveness with ability, and intrepidity with wisdom. And above all,
he wouldn't say anything unless he himself had done it. He said, whatever I ask you to do, I do it before you, and whatever I forbid you from, I leave it before forbidding you from it. There are still thousands of points to tell about the great character of Ali ibn Abi Talib alayhi salam. Imam Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi just absolutely sees Imam Ali alayhi salam as the main manifestation of goodness, and that is how he calls him one of the excellent creatures in this world.
Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
June 27th, 2023. A suburb of Paris. Two police officers stand on either side of a pulled-over Mercedes AMG as they're questioning its driver. Everything seems normal. But suddenly, one of the officers shoots the driver as he pulls away. He subsequently dies from chest wounds. The death of Nahel, a 17-year-old youth of Algerian-Moroccan descent, unleashed a wave of nationwide protests against police brutality. Those who knew Nahel said he was well-loved in Nataf, where he lived with his mother. Thousands of people took part in a march in memory of Nahel, railing against a culture of police impunity and a failure to reform law enforcement. Nahel had never been convicted, had no criminal record, and had never been tried for anything. But he lost his life to police violence. His tragic and avoidable death ushered in days of grief and fury. Protests set Paris ablaze and exposed deep divisions in the country, with racism at the center of the row.
We are concerned by the killing of a 17-year-old of North African descent by police in France on Tuesday. We note that an investigation has been launched into alleged voluntary homicide. This is a moment for the country to seriously address the deep issues of racism and racial discrimination in law enforcement.
Activists believe Nahel's race was a factor in his killing, shining light on long simmering tensions over police discrimination against ethnic minorities in France. Whereas the French government has gone to any lengths to portray itself as non-racist, a study carried out in 2017 by the Rights Defenders found that young men perceived to be black or Arab were 20 times more likely to be stopped by police than their peers. In the heat of the unrest, President Macron called the killing of Nahel inexcusable and inexplicable. But critics say it's not inexplicable or a mystery, but simply systematic racism within French society, which is inextricably linked to the country's long colonial past. This colonial racism, which has remained a highly sensitive topic, is evident in France's role in Algeria, Nahel's ancestral home. When Algeria reclaimed its independence from French colonization, a brutal war broke out that resulted in the deaths of hundreds of thousands of Algerians. The Nahel case is just the latest in a series of racist incidents that the French state has failed to adequately address. These are some other police killings widely perceived as racist, which stand out in the collective memory of the French. October 27, 2005, Zayed Bena and Buna Taror. June 17, 2007, Lamine Ding. June 9, 2009, Ali Ziri. July 19, 2016, Adama Taror. January 5, 2020, Kedrick Chauviat. In a bid to quell the anti-racism protests, tens of thousands of police officers were deployed across the country, including 5,000 in the Paris region, which in the words of President Macron was unjustifiable and in fact an attack on the Republic. The fact is, the French Republic has long been under attack, not by furious protesters who seek justice and demand for accountability in the face of unending racism, but by the political elite who have hollowed the French Republic's motto of liberty, equality, fraternity out of meaning. But the fourth night of protests, more than 1,300 people were arrested by the French police. In the meanwhile, a campaign to raise money for the family of the policeman who shot dead Nahel topped 1.5 million euros, far outstripping donations to the victim's family causing shame and anger among citizens. For the time being, the storm of protests has subsided, but anger over racism, which is almost practiced with impunity in France, continues unabated.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful, dear brothers and sisters, Assalamu alaikum. So welcome. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio. We're going to speak about rules of life in Islam. So be with us. Assalamu alaikum. Today, Monday, is the 21st of Zilhijjah, 1444 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, and 19th of Tir, 1402 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, 10th of July, 2023 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. You listen to today's special, and of course, we'll listen to Ayah 48 of Chapter Ma'idah from the Holy Quran and its interesting point.
A'udhu billahi minash shaytanir rajim. Wa anzalna ilayka al-kitaba bil-haqqi musaddiqan lima bayna yadayhi minal kitabi wa muhaiminan alayhi. فاحكم بينهم بما أنزل الله ولا تتبع أهواءهم عما جاءك من الحق لكل جعلنا منكم شرعة ومنهاجا ولو شاء الله لجعلكم أمة واحدة ولكن ليبلوكم فيما آتاكم فاستبقوا الخيرات إلى الله مرجعكم جميعا فينبئكم بما كنتم فيه تختلفون.
And we have revealed to you, O Muhammad, the book in truth, confirming that which preceded it of the scripture, and as a criterion over it. So judge between them by what Allah has revealed, and do not follow their inclinations away from what has come to you of the truth. To each of you we prescribed a law and a method. Had Allah willed, He would have made you one nation united in religion, but He intended to test you in what He has given you. So race to all that is good. To Allah is your return altogether, and He will then inform you concerning that over which you used to differ.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
After pointing to the books of the former prophets, there is an indication in this verse to the situation of the Quran, the signs of which adapt to what has been recorded in the former heavenly books. Fundamentally, all the heavenly books are paralleled in principles, and their pursuit is the same goal that is training and improving the human race.
Come from one, the seed has spread. The dawn of light has split from white to blues and reds. Behind it all, there must be more. Seven colors of day, shed the light of your way. Have I found what is lying behind the fire in your eyes? Do you see what I see? What I see, what I see. See what I see, what I see.
On the previous episode of today's special, we open a new topic entitled Rules of Life in Islam. Today we continue. Islam means to submit freely to the commandments and will of the one and only Allah. This submission should come from within, from sound belief in and conviction to Allah with no doubt. It should also come from love, trust, and affection. Islam is a simple and practical religion. It has established clear and easily understandable beliefs and laws that any follower or student of the religion can easily understand. Islam affirms belief in a decent, civilized society. Islam also does not demand impossible goodness of its followers, but it recognizes that all human beings make mistakes and sin. Islam preaches peace, mercy, justice, tolerance, equality, love, truth, forgiveness, patience, morality, sincerity, and righteousness.
One day a man came to Imam Sadiq alayhi salam and he asked him to prove the existence of the Almighty God. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam told him, listen, before I bring you scientific or empirical or clear-cut proofs that establish the existence of the Almighty God, let me just tell you something very clear. And this goes the argument. He tells him that, imagine that God does exist. For the sake of argument, let's say that he may exist. It's a possibility. Now, if he exists and you believe in him, then you've achieved salvation. Then you will have obeyed the Almighty God and you will receive that great reward in the hereafter. You will go to paradise. So for the sake of argument, if God does actually exist and you believe in him, then you will go to heaven. Now, if he does actually exist, but you don't believe in him, then you will go to hell. You will be subjected to his wrath and punishment. The reward of God is eternal. It's infinite. And his punishment for those who stubbornly and arrogantly reject him is also eternal. The Holy Quran states those who reject the Almighty God knowingly and stubbornly, then they will be subjected to an infinite punishment in the hereafter. Now, if we assume that the Almighty God does not exist, and you turn out to believe in him, what have you lost? Did you lose anything? Yes, maybe you could say that a few days of my life were wasted because I was obeying the Almighty God. I was following his instructions. But when you compare this finite, this very limited loss to the infinite loss in the hereafter, it's nothing. When you compare any number, bring me the greatest number in the world. When you bring me a specific number and you compare it to infinity, it doesn't mean anything. It cannot even be compared to infinity.
IRIB English Radio presents today's special, Every Day for 15 Minutes.
Be like the sun, shining with light. Be like a rose, spreading its fragrance in every palm.
Today's special.
Be like the earth, humble and wise. Be like the rain, pouring all your love to every soul.
This is today's special and Golden Rules of Success. And of course, we follow the Prophet Muhammad's strategy. There is ease and difficulty to see advantage in disadvantage. Whenever one is faced with a problem, he or she never despair. This is always a silver lining that presents itself to the true believers. When a calamity strikes, the individual may proceed to follow one of two approaches. The first and most followed approach is to feel down, stressed out, hopeless, and completely helpless because they concentrate on the negative part of the difficult problem or dilemma or calamity one is facing. This is the approach of those who are not trained to resort to Allah and His infinite wisdom. They usually fail and are never noticed. The second approach is that of those who believe in Allah and the fact that there is always a silver lining to every test of difficulty presented by Allah. So, we rely on Allah in our daily lives.
I only knew love when I knew love of thee. I sealed up my heart against my enemy. I stood long in converse with thee who doth see. My heart's in a secret, but thou I don't see.
We need to direct our focus. Instead of relying on our own self and other things, we should rely for our needs and wants on Allah. It means that we must put our maximum efforts into doing things with the belief that Allah will pave the best way for us. You should search for different job posts, believing in your heart that Allah will take you to the right place. For attaining good grades in school or college, you must study hard with complete trust on Allah. If you want to get married, put your trust in Allah that He is the best planner. For any wish you have, you must deep on the ultimate one, Allah. As a weak human being, you cannot carry your burdens on your own. Reliance on Allah will ease your nerves and help you to get through life challenges.
One of the tafsirs of this verse, فَوَيْلٌ لِلْقَاسِيَةِ قُلُوبُهُمْ مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ, is this. There are some people whose hearts become hard. قَاسِيَة. Why? مِنْ ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ. Because of prayer, because of the remembrance of Allah, because of the Quran, because they pray, 10 minutes later, they make a joke out of their prayer. They violate the laws of God. They read the Quran, 10 minutes later, they disobey the Quran. When you mock the Quran practically like that, you get close, you get farther and farther from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So you need tawfiq from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to achieve success. This is a word that we're very familiar with. Many times when you're praying for your brothers and sisters, you say, وَفَّقَكَ Allah, Allah يوفقك. Tawfiq is very simple. I don't need to give you a philosophical explanation. Tawfiq means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when He sees millions and billions and trillions of factors at play, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes all those factors work for your success. That's the basic meaning of tawfiq. Allah puts you in the right place, in the right moment, inspires you to do the right thing, you become successful.
Dear brothers and sisters, that was all for today. And inshallah, of course, we meet you soon in another episode of today's special. So we leave you in Allah's protection. Fi amanillah.
La ilaha illallah, Allahu Rabbi, Muhammad Nabi, Ali Imami. لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي علي إمامي
لا إله إلا الله الله ربي
محمد نبي علي إمامي
لا فتى إلا علي علي إمامي علي إمامي
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran. IRIB English Radio.
This is